Wonderful Creator, we do thank you. We've given all worship and praise up to you at this time. And now may our hearts be opened and our ears be opened so that we may hear the words, hear your truth, that they may change our lives and that they may fit the mold of Jesus Christ, adapting to what you have called us to do so we may continue to grow your kingdom in the love that you've once loved us and shown us. And this we do pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Just want to highlight a couple brief announcements here this morning before we continue this time of worship today. If you'll look at your bulletin insert, about the third announcement down, the 2018 baccalaureate service will be held at Faith United Methodist Church on Tuesday, May the 29th. And the Ministerial Association of Gibsonburg, there we are asking each church to donate $50 and 3 volunteers. And so we just want to put this out here. And Anita, if you want to speak to this, I'm going to invite you. If not, that's okay too. All right. So, and just to recap what Anita said, the church or the school, they basically have, you know, stopped sponsoring the baccalaureate service. And so the Ministerial Association of Gibsonburg, we have decided to pick that up. And so we are going to be having this at different churches over the years. Last year, it was held at First English. This year, as Anita said, last year there were 6 seniors. This year, out of the 67, 68 seniors that will be graduating, we have 25 that are interested right now. And so there will be a sit-down served meal before the service. The service will be at 7-ish, 7:15. And the meal typically would be at 6-ish. And so we are in need of, you know, individuals to help serve that meal because, friends, it is a plated meal. It's not the buffet line. And so I grew up, I was a waiter for years. That's a cool thing. And so, you know, anybody can do it. And so we are looking for help. And then also they are asking each church to contribute for the food, and to prepare the food for the volunteers, and there's more on there. Faith and Trinity, we are coming together as one to host this event, and as Anita said, if every student brings 4 or 5 people, you know, when we get that many out here, we are seating people in classrooms, and it just doesn't, you know, prevent. Faith has a bigger fellowship hall, so it will be held down there at Faith on Tuesday, May the 29th. You can see Anita after the worship service if you would like to be a part of that wonderful worship service of honoring the seniors who are graduating this year and sharing God's love, because that's a vital part of it as well. And so with that, I am going to turn your attention to the back of your bulletin. And this year at annual conference, every year the bishop has an initiative. And this year at annual conference, his initiative is called Light the Way. Now, what the Light the Way campaign is, you can read about it. There's about 2/3 of the back of your bulletin, and on your own time, you can read about it. Today during the normal offering and next week during the normal offering, anyone who would like to contribute to Light the Way, simply mark on your envelope Light the Way and the amount. Now, what Light the Way is it's an initiative to plant churches. Now, Church Plant is a new startup. I'm going to share a number with you here. An established church, it takes 90 members, 90, to reach one person and bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. A church plant, it takes 3. Ouch. And there's reasons for that. The most effective way to evangelize the American culture is through church plants. You might be sitting there thinking, but why? We've got 8 billion churches in this country already. Well, 5 to 10,000 of those churches close every year. And so at the current pace of church planting, we are still not replacing the churches that are closing. They're closing at a faster pace than what are being planted. And so if God's Spirit is moving you to contribute, now we will gather the funds over the next 2 weeks, and then they will be taken to annual conference and presented at that time to ensure that these monies get there. The other cool thing about this is that it's not just church plants, it's also church revitalization. And if you read that, church revitalization, bringing back the vibrancy to the churches that are struggling. And friends, this is an incredible need across our country. It's an incredible need. And so if God's Spirit leads you, mark it on your envelope, light the way and the amount. If you put loose change in the offering, it's going to go in the general fund. And so I will just bring that up to you. Please make note of the other announcements, and we are going to turn our attention to a video that we have prepared here this morning. VBS is coming right up, and friends, on this Mother's Day, I say happy Mother's Day to all of you. And, you know, I'm going to just share with you, there's more than one way to be a mom. How about Vacation Bible School? How about Vacation Bible School? Now think about this. The opportunity for a full week to pour your love that God has given to you into the hearts, minds, and souls of these kids that come to us that God has entrusted us with. How about that? Mind-boggling, right? But that's what we have before us. So as I say Happy Mother's Day to you all the ladies, I say thank you. But I challenge us all to be the hands and feet. We are still in need. We have 60-ish odd, you know, registrations thus far. We are just about a month out, and so we are still in need of about 10 people to serve. God is doing some incredible things through the fundraising activities, the bins out in the parking lot. God has generated almost $1,000 to offset the cost. I mean, praise God, amen? I mean, so God is moving, He is leading, and once again, He is shaping up this ministry for His glory and only for His glory. The need is this. We are in need of about 10 more people. Now, before you have all the excuses run through your head, one of the needs that we have are we are in need of shuttle drivers. This year, we are taking the middle schoolers from Trinity after the opening session, and we are going to shuttle them down to Faith in order that we have more space here for the other kids. And then at the end of the morning, we're going to shuttle them back here. And so I challenge you, if you've got a driver's license, we can use you. You don't have to have any great skill of anything, but don't underestimate God and what He will do through you in that travel time, because that's one of the prime opportunities. Kids will be talking that you will have to speak life into their very soul. And so if God's Spirit is moving you, please, we implore you. Rachel could not be here. In fact, she was at Faith this morning making the announcement down there, and then she had a family commitment. And so on behalf of the Vacation Bible School team, we're in need of about 10 more people. God is moving once again, and we anticipate a wonderful outreach, a wonderful opportunity to pour His love into the hearts and souls of these individuals, these young children. And so please see me after worship if God is moving you. Junior worship is children's church is now dismissed. For those in kindergarten through fourth grade, I always call it junior worship, but it's children's church here. And so we have a special ministry prepared especially for you, and may we all turn our attention to the reading of God's word.
This is a reading from Genesis chapter 37, and it's found on page 61 in your pew Bibles. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan, but they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, and then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming into Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh. and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. This is the word of God. Will the ushers please come forward to receive the gifts and offerings?
Kind, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. Just part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning, our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them, bless them and multiply them into your service.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're continuing our series on the life of Joseph, and after hearing that scripture reading, you might be asking the question, what on earth does this passage have to do with Mother's Day? And that would be very acceptable and very adequate, but I'm here to tell you it has everything to do with Mother's Day. And here's the reason why, is because the love of a mother for their children is unquenchable, it's unfathomable. The love of a mom to their kids is indescribable. And many times I know from my life that although I haven't had any children of my own, I know that when my niece and nephew would be spending the night, I would find myself getting up sometimes one, two, three times in the night to do one thing, to go check on them, to look. Are they breathing? That may sound goofy, but it's true. It happens. You want the best for them. And friends, you know, this is what we would call a wellness check. You see, in our world, we can even call certain authorities and have them go and do a wellness check on individuals that we care about, on individuals that we love. And I'm going to point us back to verse 14. Where Joseph, by his father, is asked to do just that. He is asked to go and do a wellness check on his brothers and on their flocks. And the verse goes like this. It says, "Then his father said to him, 'Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring word back to me.'" Jonathan Wesley, in his meetings, before his class meetings, he was notoriously famous for asking one question and one question before he began any of his meetings. And the question was this: is it well with your soul? Now, many times in our life, many times throughout each and every day, we think that it's well with our soul, but I'm here to offer to you this morning that there are three things that we can all use to check the wellness of our soul. Because well, in the ancient Hebrew text, it's shalom, and it means peace. You might have heard the Hebrew phrase Shabbat Shalom, and it means peace to you. It means may it be well to you, but shalom carries the connotation of restoring things back to the original way that God created them to be before sin entered. It includes the meaning of soundness, of completeness, of fullness. It includes the meaning of health. And so as Jonathan Wesley would ask that question before his class meetings, is it well with your soul? He was really asking, are you complete? Are you sound? Are you whole? Or are you lacking something? And so Joseph is sent on this trek to see if his brothers were well, to see if their sheep were well. Much like mothers check on their children to see if they are well. You see, we can have wellness checks for individuals, and many times we do have those wellness checks. We can have wellness checks for institutions. Just last night, Kathy and I, we were eating dinner, and I was reading on my phone. mistake number one. Right? But to my defense, I was reading about my alma mater from college and how the president there was doing a wellness check. And about they are in various financial difficulties, and the president of my alma mater began to do certain things. And yes, it was a mistake, and yes, I paid the price for it, but it wasn't all that bad. She is a very gracious lady, and so I am very appreciative. But I was interested in that because of the wellness of the college that I attended. And so this is not just a simple individual thing. This is an institution thing. It's an element that churches can have about them. Years ago, I went through a difficulty in my time, and I had a friend come up to me, and he says, "How are you doing after I had gone through it all?" I said, "I'm okay now." He looked at me, and he says, "I knew that would be difficult." I looked at him, and I said, "Thanks for checking on me." You see, we all need that. You see, friends, as Joseph was sent to his brothers to check on him, you know, we can look at it and we can see what the intent of his father was. Now, Joseph lost his mother at an early age. And so his father doted on him and he favored Joseph over his brothers. And we could think that sometimes we set out in life and sometimes we have different things that are going on and sometimes they don't go the way that we think they're going to go. This very event, Joseph ended in a pit. Not exactly what he expected. And so when we think about a wellness check, we need to ask ourselves the question of focus first and foremost. We will look over the next several weeks, we will look at times where Joseph finds himself in prison. He finds himself falsely accused. And ultimately, he kept his focus on one thing and one thing only. On the living Lord, and we see that in chapter 50 of the book of Genesis, and we see where he says, "You meant it for bad, but God meant it for good." And so the wellness of our heart, of our soul, it must be checked on one question and one question only to start, and that is, what is your focus? What is our focus? What is my focus? Is my focus hanging on to a good God who has promises that will never fail us? Is my focus on a Lord that has sent his Son, his only begotten, only unique Son, to come to earth to lay down his life? Is my focus on a God who gives himself to me and seals me and you with himself called the Holy Spirit? What is my focus? What do I hang on to? Is my focus on a God that promises that he will never leave me nor forsake me? And that same promise is true for you, friends. You see, as Joseph set out, I guarantee you his focus wasn't on what was going to happen. But when it happened, his focus got there at some point. Otherwise, he would not have experienced God moving in his life. And if we are truly going to say it is well with our soul, we have to ask the question, what is our focus? What's our focus? What do we hang our hat on in life? Are we depending upon our own abilities? Are we depending upon people? Are we depending upon the economy? What are we hanging our hat on? Because anything outside the living God will fail us. Anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ will fall. Anything other than God and God alone will leave us wanting. The wellness check of our soul, it looks like this. What do we focus on? What moves us? What concerns us? What drives you? What drives me? What is our focus? You see, we talk about the Light the Way campaign, and although it's a great initiative, but the sad travesty is that churches that are established, they lose their way because of tradition, because of things the way they always used to be. And because of that, they become like the church in New York that put a sign on the door and it said, "Out of business." We forgot what our business was. You see, as the institution of the church is made up of people, and we are the church, friends. And if it's not well with one of our souls, then it will infect all of the souls. And so the question Jonathan Wesley asked was an institutional question. Is it well with our soul? What's the heartbeat of the church? The heartbeat ought to be to preach the gospel to all things and all creatures in all the world. Is that not Jesus' mandate, to go into all the world and make disciples, to preach them the gospel of love? But sadly, our focus becomes twisted, inverted. Can I even dare to say perverted? Because it begins to become about us. And so then to answer the question, is it well with our soul, we have to say no. No, it's not. Because we want what we want. You see, Joseph got to that point down the road where he wanted what God wanted, because when he had all the power, and we will see this in future weeks, when he had the power to slay his brothers, he said, no. It was truly well with his soul. The second test of our wellness of our soul always will be our willingness. What is your willingness? What is my willingness? When God says, I need you to go here, are we the first in line to say, here I am, Lord? Or when God says, hey, this is what I'm requiring of you, to walk justly and act mercifully and walk humbly with the Lord, to take it out of Micah 6, verse 4. Are we simply shying away and stepping back and say, I am too scared? It's not well with our soul then, friends. Or are we like Isaiah, the prophet, saying, here I am, Lord, send me. You see, Joseph got there. And sometimes we follow God and we think it's well with our soul, and we are sent out on a wellness check and we find ourselves in a pit. And we need to hang our hat that God is a good God. He was in that pit with Joseph. Today, you might find yourself in a pit, but you need to remember that God is a good God, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And the question is that you need to ask yourself, what is my focus? Am I focusing in on the difficulties and the struggles, or am I focusing in on the character of God? And when I focus on the character, the second question is, am I willing to do what God is asking me to do? You see, God gives us this wellness check in our life. And many times it's through our brothers and sisters in Christ, and at other times it's through the Holy Spirit, that still small voice that nudges us to go closer to him and nudges us to stop an activity, that nudges us to do something, to say something, that nudges us to read our Bible, and that sounds silly, but it's very true. That nudges us to pick up the phone and call someone. You see, that is God's built-in wellness check for you and for me. The third thing that we can always ask and test the wellness of our soul is this. What is our choice? What do we choose? Choose ye whom this day ye shall serve. If it's well with your soul, your choice will always be to choose to serve God as Joshua prayed and proclaimed. You see, I preach this because of this. Because some 10 months ago, I presented a vision here for this community. And I've been challenged this past week to give an update. Now, many of you might be challenged because of this, but I preach this because of this. The sheer fact of me going down to faith has revealed certain unwellness things in this congregation. Very apparent. The truth be told about the merger is that we have submitted two merger rationale letters, and they have been approved and accepted by the bishop and the cabinet. Now, the other truth of the matter is that none of us really have a hard timeline about it. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know how long it will take to bring these two congregations together. But the one thing that we do know is this, that we are more together with faith than we are separate. We can accomplish more. We can do more. We can share the love of God more effectively, more efficiently, and we can be a more powerful witness in this community together. But we who make up Trinity United Methodist Church, we have to check our hearts as Joseph, when he was in the pit, crying out, and his brothers were eating a meal. And yes, you can check it out in chapter 42. Oblivious. How they could even do that, I don't even know. But sometimes we enter into a pit that we have created for ourselves because we focus on ourselves and not what moves God's heart. We're unwilling to say, Lord, here I am, because we want what we want. And so we choose self over God. And friends, I remind you of the cross up there and the cross there. Where would you and I be if Jesus chose himself over you? Where would we be? He himself said it in these words. He says, the servant is not greater than the master, and you and I are his servants. And so if we think that we are exempt from sacrificing, we are saying we are greater than him. That's a sad day. That's a sad day. You see, this is not my agenda. It never has been. It never will be. This is about reaching the community of Gibsonburg with the gospel of love, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about changing hearts. It's about reaching into the lives of those young people that we will send to a time that we will never see ourselves. You cannot legislate morality, friends. The overflow of the heart comes out the mouth and it turns into actions. So the truth be told, things have been approved. We have been working on it. We will continue to work on it. I will share with you the updates. But before y'all go out of here and say, oh, this is going to happen next week, that's not true. We don't know that. I have never said that. When I know, I will share. Simple fact is this. If we don't have the focus of what moves God and concerns him, our focus is not right. And it's not well with our soul. And we don't have peace with God then, friends. And if we don't have peace with God, we're grieving the Spirit of God. And when we grieve the Spirit of God, we're thwarting his will. But make no bones about it. God's will be done. His will be done. It may not be through me. I'm fine with that. When I stand before Jesus, he's going to ask me the question, were you obedient with what I gave you to do? As long as I say that, yes, I'm clear. You all will have to deal with the rest, not me. So the questions we have to ask, what's our focus? Is our heart moved by what moves God's heart? What's our willingness? Are we willing to say, here I am, Lord, take me, use me? And then finally, friends, what's your choice? Do you choose to choose self, or do you choose to choose God? And I, my friends, am eternally grateful that God chose to choose you and me. And may our choice reflect Jesus' choice. Let us pray. Gracious God, we humbly thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. That you did a wellness check on us. And even when you found us not to be well, you acted. Lord, we live in a world that is not well. For if it would be well, then it would have no need for a doctor. And yet, you are the divine physician, O God. Give us your focus, we ask. May you check our hearts. May our willingness be reflective of you and Jesus. May our choice always be choosing you. We love you and we thank you. In the blessed name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior and coming King, we do pray. Amen. If you would, please stand and join with us as we sing our closing hymn here this morning. Now as we close here, may the God of all grace, may he bless you and keep you. And Trinity United Methodist Church, I send you out today to meet with God, to have him do a wellness check on your heart. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, Trinity, you are sent. Amen.